95 tonight, Psalm 95. Brother Harold, just before the service, showed me that one of our missionaries, the Bonds, is that right, the Bonds? They have come off the field. He's pastoring a church now. We've had several missionaries come off the field this last year, and so we'll be able to take on several new missionaries without even adding our support. My goal, I said, was four or five, but I haven't scheduled, and I'm not scheduling missionaries for this year, because I want to, before we take on more missionaries, I want to take on some of the missionaries that have come through here in the last couple years, and I want to raise the level of support that we take, that we do support our current missionaries. You know, most of you, if you work for a company, or have worked for a company, you get some kind of a raise from time to time. And sometimes, yeah, some of you are laughing, sometimes that just keeps up with inflation. I mean, things cost more and more. But our missionaries haven't gotten a raise in a long, at least from us, in a long time. And so I would like to do that before we take on more missionaries. And so we're not going to have a whole lot of missionary candidates come through here this year. There might be one that I scheduled like 2 years ago or something like that. Sometimes missionaries call me almost every day, and it's like, can I come and present at the church? And I want to say yes to all of them, because I just like hearing from missionaries. But we can't have a missionary here. It costs the church a lot of money to have missionaries come through, and we cannot support them all as much as I'd love to. But sometimes, just as kind of like a, you know, like, can I schedule you 3 years from now? And if they say yes, I've done that before. So we might have somebody come through that I scheduled, you know, a year and a half ago or something like that. All right, Psalm 95. This is the first of several psalms in a row here that are psalms of ascent to the throne. They're kind of majesty psalms. They all share a common theme of worship and praise. And so this is a really short one. It's not going to be a long message tonight. And it's really simple as well. So Psalm 95, the Bible says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we look at this passage of Scripture. Help me, Lord, give me the words to say. Clarity of thought, help us to appreciate, Lord, your call to worship. And help us as we look at this passage to understand that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the theme of this psalm, you see it right at the top probably if you have a title on top of the psalm. It is a call to worship, a call to praise. And many of these psalms that we're going to look at over the next several weeks are the same thing. They're calling us to praise, calling us to worship. So what I've got tonight as far as an outline is just really three things, okay? What, why, and how. What this chapter's telling us to do, how or why we're supposed to do it, and how we're supposed to do it, okay? So what, why, and how. And the what is, I've already mentioned, the what is to worship the Lord. Look at the first verse. "Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." It talks further on about verse 6 about "come, let us worship and bow down." Okay? You know, we ought to be worshiping the Lord. worshiping the Lord. And one of the reasons why when we sing, we should sing with our hearts. And we talked about this a lot in Sunday school on Sunday. Sing with our hearts and praise out to the Lord because he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy, let me tell you this, of our enthusiasm. Now, how many of you have ever in your life followed a sports team before? I said this in Sunday school. All right, I've been with some of y'all at sports games before. And I tell you, there's a level of enthusiasm there that we don't see it very often in church, right? I've seen Brother Harold at a football game and at a basketball game, all right? He raises his voice. He shouts out a little bit, okay? He's excited. I'm not saying he's not excited at church, okay? But look, it's okay. It's okay to get excited for the Lord. And it's okay to worship the Lord. You know, everywhere I go, you see people all over the place. They are just decked out head to toe in Chicago Bears or St. Louis Cardinals or Boston Red Sox or whatever their thing is, you know. And they are worshiping that team. They will tell anybody who will listen, that team is the best team, and here's why, here's their history, you know, here's their players. I am all about this team. But too often, we are just mum about the Lord. And we don't have any enthusiasm about worshiping the Lord. And we're ashamed to worship the Lord. We ought to lift our voice in praise and let the world know that our God is a great God and a good God. All right, we need to be worshiping the Lord. You know, I think it's a shame that people in many places that I think have their doctrine way off steal the idea of enthusiastic worship from us. All right? You don't have to be a charismatic Christian to be charismatic in your worship of the Lord. Right? I'm not talking about speaking in tongues, by the way. I'm talking about charismatic, you know, excited about worshiping the Lord. You don't have to be a contemporary Christian to be excited about the worship of the Lord. We need to sing and praise the Lord enthusiastically. We need to worship him, okay? Now, that's the what. We're supposed to worship the Lord. Here's the why. Why should we worship the Lord? Well, he gives just a couple reasons here. And the first reason he gives is because he's great. He talks about how he's a great God. He's a great king above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. It's talking about how God is greater than any king and any ruler and any force that's out there. He deserves our praise because he's worthy of our praise because he's great. All right, look, we praise things that are great, don't we? Your wife cooks a good meal. You get enthusiastic about it. She makes something new and it's great. Or you go to a great restaurant. Maybe your wife doesn't cook a great meal. You go to a great restaurant. All right? You're enthusiastic. You tell people, oh, man, I had this and it was great. Okay? You watch a good movie or you read a good book. You're enthusiastic about how great it is. But God is greater than anything that we can think of. And most of the time, too often, we're not, you know, praising the Lord like he deserves. He's great. Man, I'll tell you, I love landscapes. I love the mountains, and I love the oceans, and I love nature. I'm not like a Fruit Loop or anything, you know, but I love nature. I love going to the mountains and pictures of mountains and stuff like that, okay? God created that. That's great, and that's awesome, and it's awesome enough for us to hang pictures of it on the wall. He's the maker of that. He literally spoke all this amazing stuff into existence. He's worthy of our praise because he's great. But you know what else he is? He's worthy of our praise because he's great to us. That's the second thing that this hymn tells us, this psalm tells us. It says, "For he is our, verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice," okay? It's talking about how he's not just a great God, he's our great God. You know, back to the football thing. I don't know how anyone's a Cleveland Browns fan, right? They're terrible. They've been terrible forever. You know what? But the Cleveland people, that's their team. And some of the biggest football fans I know are from Cleveland, and they're Browns fans, and it's like, why, right? But it's theirs, okay? It's even more exciting when it's theirs and they're actually good, right? God is our God, and he actually is looking out for us. He is our shepherd, it talks about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's taking care of me. He's looking out for me. He's looking out for you. He's worthy of our praise because he's great. He's worthy of our praise because not only is he great, but he's great to, he's great to us. Okay? He's great to us. So, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to worship the Lord. Why are we supposed to do it? Because he's great, and for whatever reason, he's great to us. How are we supposed to do it? Well, look at all the ways it says here, okay? It says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. We're supposed to praise the Lord joyfully. I love how in Nehemiah, in Sunday school, several times we've seen that God has called for a revival and God has called for worship. And he specifically said, don't be grieving. Don't take this time and come in here and make this look like a funeral. All right? You need to worship me joyfully. And it should be a joyful thing for us to worship the Lord. People ought not to come to church and hear us singing and think that it's a funeral dirth. Okay? It ought to be something that's happy and exciting and joyful. And that joy needs to come from the inside. All right, look, sometimes I sing some of these songs and I get overwhelmed when I think, you know, before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. The great high priest whose name is love there ever lives and pleads for me. That brings joy to my soul, okay? When you sing, and can it be, you know, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. You know, that, man, that makes me excited, okay? By the way, Brother Matt told me something funny the other day. His brother-in-law said that, you know, most churches, you go to most churches and they sing the same four songs over and over again. He said, our church sings the rest of them. So we sing a lot of songs. All right. But we should praise the Lord joyfully and sing joyfully, okay? We should sing thankfully, all right? Thankfully. We have a lot to be thankful for. God has been so good to us. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. And we need to praise the Lord thankfully. So many of our songs that we sing are really songs of thanksgiving, thanking God for our salvation, thanking God for his care. And we ought to sing thankfully. We ought to sing biblically. Okay? It says, make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. These psalms that we're studying here, they were actually a hymn book. I mean, this is a Bible hymn book. There are denominations like the old school Presbyterians that actually still sing the psalms. But it's a good thing to sing Bible verses, Bible verse songs sometimes. We bought, just this week, we got a bunch of arrangements of Bible verse songs, and we're going to try to do some of them as choruses this next year, okay? It's a good thing to sing biblically and remember God for his goodness. We ought to sing worshipfully. Verse 7, or verse 6, oh, come let us worship and bow down. We ought to sing worshipfully, okay? God is worthy of our worship, and we ought to sing reverently. Okay, it says, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Okay, you know, if you come before a king in the olden days, they would kneel, they would bow, they would show their obeisance. And as we sing to the Lord, as we remember who he is, it's helpful for us to remember, you know, that he is high and holy and lifted up, and he is above us. And we ought to be reverent in the way that we sing to him, okay? So we should worship the Lord by singing gospel songs. That's the first way. How are we supposed to do it? Worship the Lord by singing gospel songs and singing them joyfully and thankfully and biblically and worshipfully. and reverently, okay? But here's where this psalm kind of takes a turn, because the truth is we can worship and we can sing and our heart not be in it and our life not match the words that we sing, okay? I remember when I was a camp director, there was this one group, I think I've told you this before, there was this one group, we would rent the camp out from time to time, and there was this one group of teenagers that came through, and they were bad. They were just straight up bad kids that week. I mean, they might not be bad kids, but they were bad kids that week. I mean, they were into all kinds of stuff. I mean, running off in the woods and very, very mean and disrespectful to the volunteer people working in our kitchen. And it was rough. It was a rough week. At one point, they were geniuses too. There was a skunk in the bathhouse and they decided to snap it with a towel. Apparently those kids don't know what skunks do, okay? But anyways, the thing that got me that week, the thing that I really noticed was that they would be this way, and then they would walk 5 feet into the chapel, and they would start playing their worship music. And all those kids that had been nasty and rebellious and all that stuff, 5 minutes earlier. It wouldn't be 2-3 minutes into their worship service and they'd all have their hands in the air and they'd all be singing out. And that really bothered me. It really bothered me. The truth is, though, we are that way a lot more than we like to let on. Okay? What we profess with our song, the songs that we sing and the words that we sing, our lives should match that. And if you look here, he gives this call to worship, but in the middle of this call to worship, he says, remember this, don't harden your hearts like the children of Israel did back in the day of provocation, back when they provoked the Lord and they weren't faithful to the Lord. And God said, go into the promised land, and they were afraid to do it. And because of that, God brought wrath upon them for 40 years, okay? Those people might have worshiped the Lord with their lips, but they didn't worship the Lord with their lives. And we ought to be people that not just worship the Lord by the songs that we sing, and we shouldn't make light of that. We need to worship God with songs, and we need to worship the Lord enthusiastically. We should do that, all right? But we also need to make sure that our lives and our lifestyle matches the songs that we sing. And we ought to live for the Lord enthusiastically. Turn with me in one passage. I just want to turn to one passage because it's specifically referenced in the New Testament. So turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 7. The Bible says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For Jesus had given them rest. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. So here in verse 7, I don't know if you caught this or not, but this verse 7 is a direct quotation in Hebrews of that psalm that we just read. And it's making the application to the rest that we have in Jesus Christ, where we don't have to work for our salvation like the Jews thought they did. Jesus Christ earned our salvation on the cross. And what we need to do is rest in what he's done for us. Okay, The children of Israel, though, they lost that rest because that was the point of Psalm 95. They weren't able to enter into rest because they doubted the Lord and because they didn't live out faithfully and they weren't obedient. We ought to worship the Lord by living gospel lives, resting in what Jesus Christ has done for us and obedient to the words that he commands us. All right, Psalm 95. Next week we'll look at Psalm 96.